Thank you.
What I'm going to run through is actually my key takeouts, where they're my personal takeouts. So it's not really intended to be a summary of what the speakers have said in the plenary sessions, but rather what I've taken from them. And basically what I've filled out on my one of these sheets, and hopefully all of yours will look something like this, which was the idea. Just as some context to my remarks, when I come to a conference like this, I'm looking out for, one, checking up my assumptions versus the assumptions of the views of the people that are speaking, to say, does this actually accord with my assumption? Are they disagreeing? Do I buy their argument or I stick with mine? So it's a testing and validating process that I go through. Secondly, I'm on the lookout always for, are there any risks I haven't really thought about that I should start thinking about in terms of thinking about different sort of markets? Third one, thinking about processes. Is there anything about the process that people are talking about, either how they manage money or think about making decisions, that I should be incorporating in my own decision-making practices or the practices I recommend to my clients? And finally, I guess if I was in the manager selection business, which I'm not, thank God, what would some of this stuff mean for that? So this is really where I'm going from. I'll give you a little bit more context. Coming in here, my view on the markets were, basically, the economies are going to be very sluggish over the next decade, very little growth. In terms of earnings growth of companies, I'm expecting company earnings to be the same in 2019 as they were in 2007. So that's 12 years of no earnings growth. I'm expecting really very low inflation, not deflation, but low inflation. The low growth is really applies to developed markets, thinking we'll still get robust economic growth in emerging markets, and we're going to be getting commodity shortages, which should lead to rising commodity prices. So that's kind of the fundamental assumptions I'm coming here with and wanting to test against. So the reason I said that is a lot of the speakers and the things that I was really taking notice were things around those sort of areas. So the first session with Hamish Douglas, Jonathan Payne and Chris Watling, all of them were talking about, one way or another, to greater or lesser extent, this idea that we're going to get low economic growth, probably low profit growth for the next decade. It seemed to be all very consistent. So for me, that was just a tick and a validation. All of them felt that emerging markets growth was going to be strong and commodity prices were going to do pretty well. So again, another tick. Some sort of minor disagreement between will China rescue the rest of the world, but it seemed to be a second order effect. The really big area of debate was this whole one which we've gone back and over again, and I think it is very important, is will we get inflation or deflation? And how high will inflation be? And they were of the views that we were going to get either deflation in the case of Jonathan through to, I think, modest inflation for Hamish around about 5%, and I think Chris had sort of a higher number still. So quite a lot of disagreement there. And I end up putting that one down in my risk column. This whole question mark around inflation, when you get people, speakers of this quality with such different views, you say, well, here is an area that we really could see some big diversions from your forecast. So stick that down in the risk column. The second session, Peter Ratchin, which I know you didn't like. I thought it was very good. And I thought he made a really, really useful and interesting point that all of you, or most of you, are in the fund manager selection business one way or the other, is that as fund managers get more sophisticated in what they're doing around style management, returns to styles are going to become far more volatile in future, which means my take on it was you're going to have to give them a lot longer when you decide whether they're actually falling off the tree or not. The styles will move against them and people will look silly for, you know, 2 to 3 years. So if you're not giving them long periods of time, you're going to get into the whipsawing thing, which I'm sure a lot of you have done in the past, and it always costs you money. You've got to give people longer once you've decided they're good. The flip side of that, I think you've got to take longer to decide whether they're good or not. If we're seeing strong moves to sort of styles over short periods of time, someone may just be able to lock onto that style. So I think more patience around that is one of the takeouts I would have taken if I was in this business, which thank goodness, as I said, I'm not. The next speaker was Pippa Melgram. Again, positive on commodities, positive on emerging markets. Interesting comments around inflation. I found it hard to work out exactly where she was at, but for me, when she said she was happy to buy bonds at 5, If you're happy to buy long bonds at 5%, you can't be too worried about inflation. I think she said, oh, I might have to sell them. But so my sense is where Pippa was coming from, yes, inflation will pick up, but not too much. I'm not sure that's fair. The other thing that she talked about was how markets are going to be, they said they're going to be more volatile in future. I think she meant more volatile in future than they were pre this last episode. I don't think they're going to be more volatile than they have been the last year or two. But continued high volatility and music to my ears that we have to get far more forward-looking with our asset allocation. In fact, I mean, that was a consistent theme coming throughout. Mark Faber, again, very positive about emerging markets, very positive about commodities, not quite so positive on the US dollar. One of the comments that got me was all currencies are going to zero. I'm not quite sure how that works. The FX market would be very interesting. But again, one of the particular thing that really struck with me with Marx was this idea that massive stimulus package, it helps the economy this year, but if they spend the same amount next year, no additional growth. So by just maintaining that level of spending, the impact goes away after 1 year. If they reduce it even a little bit, so it's still a huge stimulus program but smaller, it's actually taking away from growth. Really adds to the risk in the economy. I think that was my big takeaway. The other one, of course, it's useful to be entertaining at this stage of the afternoon, so my apologies for that. Next one we had up was the session this morning with Chris Watling, Bill Gross and Rob Arnott. Bill Gross, discussion around inflation. If he's buying bonds at 4.5%, he's not particularly worried about inflation. And the reason seen to me, for me, which I thought was useful, was the argument that given a lot of the funding is coming from overseas, particularly the Chinese, if they try and reflate their way out of the debt, their interest costs will go up and it'll just make their debt servicing even harder. So there's going to be discipline from the markets, which is really going to control to a large extent what governments can do in terms of trying to reflate their debt. He wasn't really clear about where that ends up, but the general sense of that was this was going to make things very tough for the economy. So again, another tick in the low economic growth column. The other point there from Rob Arnott was this idea that value stocks were at their biggest or the second biggest discount in 100 years. And I suspect for those of you, again, in the manager selection business, if you believe that has got predictive power, and from what I've seen of it in the past, that sort of thing really does have predictive power, that's a pretty big clue for where you should be going on the manager selection side. Chris Watling, again, supporting the idea that emerging market growth was going to be pretty strong. The other piece in terms of manager selection I thought that was very interesting coming out of that was Rob Arnott's point about if you buy cap-weighted type products, now that could either become through an index fund or even if you're buying fund managers that have got very tight tracking error constraints, which really locks them into capital weights, you're systematically overweighting every expensive stock in the market and underweighting every cheap stock. And it's a real concern, and he described that as a systematic way to sort of take away returns from your clients. And I think that's something you should really think about, either on if you're using a lot of passive product, which passive products you choose, but also when you're selecting managers, you know, how close are you going to go to these people who are effectively the benchmark huggers? Where else do we have on that one? Oh, the other thing, just from Rob Arnott, you know, in terms of, this was in my other column, the only thing in the other column, was one thing in terms of practices you should take back to your offices is stop telling clients that equities always outperform in the long term. They clearly don't. You know, we've always told you that in the past. It's been a lie. It's time to stop lying to our clients. This afternoon session, more music to my ears. When on the risk management side, both James and Greg were very much of the view that asset allocation is critical, and you don't get it by static asset allocations. You know, you've got to be aware of what the market's telling you. You've got to start to learn mechanisms for saying, how can I look at current market data and get an understanding of what returns are likely to be? And for those of you who know me, clearly I agree with this one. I think it's fantastic that the market's finally coming around to this view and everyone's starting to talk it, and hopefully this will become the way we all do things before too long. Other pieces on the risk management side, James's comments that really stuck out to me was one, which is back to the previous point, is understand the linkages between the variables that are out there and what drives markets. And when you can understand what drives markets, you've got a chance to manage risks. The second point, which is sort of obvious, but it's worthwhile looking at again, is just beware of scoundrels. Finally, when I summarised all this, and this is my bottom row along the bottom, what is my takeout? Markets. What I heard about inflation was enough to confirm my biases. But if your bias coming in here was one that said, I think we're going to get high inflation, I suspect you heard enough to confirm your bias as well. But that was just my takeout. Again, I think the whole one about low economic growth, I think, will certainly confirm my bias around that. The one area that I have a lot of concern around now, which I didn't have coming in here, was the idea that emerging markets are going to be the great place to be and commodities. And it's just when you hear every single speaker say the same thing, you really ought to get worried about it. And so in that respect, my advice would be, yes, start making some moves in that direction, but make them very slowly. And the fourth one around that one is this idea that value stocks could be in for a period of substantial and long-term outperformance. In terms of manager selection, be more patient with your managers when you're evaluating their performance, and beware of sort of cap weighting either by stealth or design. In the risk management side, clearly worrying about inflation is going to be a big deal, and thinking about what is the exposure in my portfolios to inflation. Can I manage that in some way? Another theme that came through in a lot of subtle ways was the idea I've got to try and maximise the amount of diversification in my portfolios. And it's sort of like an obvious point, but it's not easy to do. And sort of more thought around that one. In terms of process, the consensus is really amongst the speakers here, you've got to get away from strategic asset allocation. We've had Pippa Morgan saying you can't do it anymore, the world has changed. Rob Arnott was saying the same thing. Greg Cooper was saying the same thing. Even Andrew Peace from Frank Russell, the guys who invented strategic asset allocation, it's been an article of faith for him at the due diligence session saying that we finally changed our mind. Everyone is now saying there are better ways of doing it. I know most of you don't do, or a lot of you still stick with strategic asset allocation. Like a really clear message came through, you've got to start moving away from that one if you want to do the best job for your clients. So that was really it for me. On the one final point on that one which came through was, and this is a point that Pippa made, that because things are going to change rapidly, you're going to have to do one of two things. Either be able to move much more quickly, which I think was one of Greg Cooper's points as well, in your asset allocation, which I know for most of you from a process point of view is very difficult. The second piece then, if you can't do that, you've got to form much stronger long-term convictions and be able to stick through the ups and downs that you're going to face in the short to medium term.